B-Pod Studios.
The following podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together.
This is PG with Roxanne Wilder.
Oh, Kelsey, I'm so excited to talk with you today. Kelsey is our special guest today on the podcast, and she has a baby that's on the way. So she is a first-time mom-to-be. When's the due date?
He is due on August 7th.
Oh, bless your heart. You get the summer months to go down the stretch. Oh,
gosh, I've heard summer is going to be awful for me.
Key piece of advice, just put all your bras and underwear in the freezer.
That's really good. It feels so good. I haven't even thought about that, but yeah.
Leave them here in the freezer at work. No one will say anything. It's not an HR issue. I did it last time. No, not at all.
I've learned that I've got a free pass now. It's kind of like I can do anything, say anything. And people are like, you're pregnant. You're right.
Yes. It's all about you. And people come by and visit you and say, how are you feeling? What's going on? Which is great, but it's kind of distraction too, right?
Oh, very much. And they want to come around. They want to touch me. They want to hug me. They want to feel them. They want to wake them up. And I'm like, God. We have a job to do.
And this is my body.
Correct.
You do hear some funny comments sometimes from people because people always, it's just their nature. We're a visual society, so we judge things by how they look. So people will say, I remember sometimes people were like, well, you don't look like you're gaining a lot of weight. Or then down the stretch, it was like, oh my gosh, you're huge. And I'm like, yes, I have about to be due baby inside me.
Yeah, there's a little human.
Yeah, so people just blurt out stuff and you're like, why did you just say that to me? It's like pregnant women suddenly become fair game for all kinds of bizarre comments.
It's true. I do feel like a target.
No, you're good, but it's all with love. It's all with love and interest in what's going on. So that's the exciting thing. So I have a little bit of advice for you. Well, first, before we get to the advice part of the show, and my advice comes from the mistakes I made. Most of my advice is from the mistakes I made. But what I want to talk to you about is, when did you find out the excitement level and your first trimester? Because that's such a weird, weird time. And it's different when you have a first baby versus a second baby, because the first baby is all new, so it's exciting. But you really do feel crappy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I found out a few weeks after my 30th birthday. He was a surprise, complete surprise, but hey, 30 birthday, time to take the next step in life. But it's been surprisingly, I feel almost like an oddball about what everyone tells you. Like, I didn't have any morning sickness. I didn't have any lightheaded. I didn't have headaches. I didn't have anything. I would have never known.
Good for you.
Like, it has been a complete blessing.
Oh,
like,
I haven't had my head
glued down in the toilet like I've been told I would. I mean, I got aches and pains, but the first few months, honestly, like, I felt good. I just got
tired, but you almost didn't feel like you were pregnant.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was very awkward from everything that I read, everything everyone told me. I'm like, this is kind of easy, which is, I feel bad saying.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Because like I said, you have these hot summer months you're going to have to endure. Because I had opposite. I was miserable during my first trimester, throwing up, coming in here to work early, throwing up in the car. And every time I would brush my teeth, I would gag. And just the fatigue that you feel like you've been run over by a train.
Yep.
And then my second trimester was great. Everybody's is. And then my third trimester was really pretty good, aside from heartburn. That was what was really starting to get me at the end. But my biggest piece of advice I want to share with you today, and someone gave this to me. She said, hey, just remember, your daughter, so in your case, Kelsey, your son, he picked you guys. He picked you. So you know what? Continue to be you and continue to live your life. In other words, I mean, don't get me wrong. Our daughter is the center of our universe. She's spoiled, all of that. But we do what we do. And she picked us, so she's along for the ride.
I almost feel sorry for him, but... Good luck, little fella. I love you.
You're like, really? Why did you pick us? No, you two are going to be great parents. Great parents. Okay, so this is something someone in this building, I'm not going to divulge her name because I don't want to breach her confidence, but she told me, she said, Roxanne, just be prepared. When you come back from maternity leave, everyone will say to you, oh, how was your vacation?
God.
And sure, that was the case. How was your vacation?
Man.
I didn't sleep on my vacation. Yeah, my nipples are about to fall off because of what I did on my vacation, which, totally personal question, do you have plans to breastfeed? Are you going
to
take it as it comes?
I need to breastfeed. I just feel like I need to know, you know, make my decision on it. I mean, I feel like I want to know what it feels like.
Okay,
what
cool.
You know, it's another feeding another human life.
Right. Good for you.
I have to.
Yes. I breastfed for about 7 months. And I would have gone longer, but my body just kind of ran out of juice. It was like too tired, getting up early. And so it was so excruciatingly painful for about 2 weeks. But then it's fine. Then it's totally fine. So just be prepared for those 2 weeks. And every time you do it, you're going to want to, if you're sitting on the floor, you're going to want to like grab the carpet and rip it out of the floor. Because just that latching on. But then once you start doing it for a couple days even, it'll get better. And it'll just be the first, it'll just be the latch. So it'll be like 15 seconds of torture and then it's totally fine. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. No, no. And it's great.
Cringing.
It's great. This is my advice. Have a little bag that you take with you around the house, wherever you are. If you're going to watch TV in a room, if you're in your bedroom, you have your little tote bag and you have diapers, you have wipes, you have maybe, you know, any sort of little medicinal things the baby might need, like a little snot, the blue snot bulb thing. I forget what they're called. And then your pumping supplies, or if you're going to pump, or your nipple cream. And you just take that little bag with you. Maybe you have some magazines in there and you have all your stuff. And then you don't ever have to think about it. You know, oh, where's this? Where's that? Because that's what, one of the things that really intimidated me about motherhood is this acquisition of stuff. Because you're 30. I was 10 years older than you when I had my first child. And I went through life with none of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, your shower's next week. Mm-hmm. You're going to get even more stuff. I didn't know what the hell to do with it. And when it comes down to it, there aren't that many things you really need. A lot of these things are wonderful, but you just need to get your essentials, have them nearby, and it'll give you some peace of mind.
That's really good advice. I haven't even thought about it.
What are your fears, worries, or just level of anticipation? Let's talk delivery day even.
Oh my gosh. All I think about is that I'm going to be in pain. I'm definitely that person that I feel like I'm going to want to walk in there and be like, okay, epidural now, let's go. I don't want to feel anything, but I want to feel it. Like, I want to know what's going on. I want to be able to experience it, but I don't know. I saw actually this meme the other day that was this woman in the middle of birth, and it was 20 seconds apart. The first one, she looked just like me, like regular little stomach, and then I saw everything tense up, and I was like, 20 seconds later, this is what it feels. And I could see the pain. It was the first time I ever was like, oh my gosh.
So she was having her not a contraction, but her actual, like a push during the active labor.
And her stomach, just everything, her whole body tense, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's me in like 60 days. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do it.
We should have kept the tape rolling for that. But basically, I'm sitting here and we just had a coworker wander on in and want to touch Kelsey's belly. Yeah. Hey, the record light's on. Hey, it's her body. It's her stomach. But come on in and rub her belly. Yeah. It's a lucky Buddha belly.
Oh my God.
Okay, so back to the day of delivery. Have you gone to any birthing classes?
Actually, we did infant CPR.
Oh, that's a good one. I should have done that.
And then we have a baby birthing class in a week and then a super baby prep class the following week.
Kelsey, you are going to be so prepared. See, I love my doctor and I said, do I need to take any of these birthing classes? And he's like, no, Roxanne, that's what I'm there for. I'm going to deliver your baby. So I didn't do anything. Nothing.
I don't know. I have so many doctors though.
Oh, I know. Don't you do have a lot of doctors,
I
right?
I can't even keep up.
You mean all within your practice?
Yeah.
Because they want to rotate you through in case whomever is available the day that you go into labor.
And I don't even feel like I connect does with any
kinda,
of them.
Does that kind of drive you crazy? Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'm like, is it going to be a guy? Is it going to be a girl? Is it going to be a nurse practitioner? Is it going to be... Mm-hmm. That gives me more anxiety. Like,
yes.
I wish I could be like, you're going to be in the room with me. We're going to do this.
Right. Well, they're all qualified. I'm quite sure.
I'm sure.
And you've got your support system of your fiance. Are you going to have anyone else in the room?
I think my mother.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely been, you know, a back and forth.
Right.
The first grandkid for both of us on our family. So I don't know. I feel like I would want my mom there, but I don't know.
My mom was not in the actual room when we were actually pushing, but she was right there to come in after and right before too. So it's definitely nice to have your mama nearby. It's just whatever your comfort level. The one surprising thing to me when I describe the actual, and hopefully this will make you feel better, when I describe the actual labor, that whole process, especially she didn't come till 11 o'clock at night, it was very intimate. It's you, the nurse, one or two nurses, the doctor. And the doctor just zips in and out. He just wants to be there when it's go time. He'll be like, okay, he'll come in and he'll look at you. How dilated are you? Leave, et cetera. That intimacy was pretty remarkable. I would never think that because you think of hospitals as cold and mm-hmm. bright lights. But this was very intimate. So that was cool. The couple things I'll warn you about. Do you want to be warned or do you want to?
No, warn me. I'd rather.
Okay. You want to be warned. This is what I did not like. I did not like having my water broken. All of a sudden, he came in and he was like, I'm going to break your water now. It was totally unexpected. It hurts like crazy for about, 10 seconds and then it's over. But that was an unpleasant surprise. So if your water doesn't break on its own and they have to come break your water, that will not be pleasant, but it will be over quickly.
Okay.
Second thing, the epidural, always, always, always get the epidural before you think you need it.
Okay.
So I started to have my contractions, and I remember the nurse was there. I said, this isn't bad. And in my head, I'm like, I don't need an epidural. I can do this. There's this little period cramp. I'll push through this. No problem. So Doug goes to get coffee. This is like 11 a.m. He goes to grab his coffee downstairs. And right before that, the nurse had said, you might want to think about getting the epidural now. Within 5 minutes of him being gone, I was on the floor crying, like squeezing her hand so tight, so much pain. So be proactive with the epidural. At the end of the day, you get your epidural, you can't feel a damn thing, and you're good. And you're just kind of chill. Okay.
Good to know. I'm having a hot flash right now.
They say hot. I didn't remember having these, but they say hot flashes are common during labor too. So in summary, if you have to get your water broken, watch out for that fish hook. It's no fun, but it's quick. It's over like that. Get your epidural in advance. Be proactive. And finally, the active labor part, the active pushing, that's pretty difficult. So get ready. But you've got your man there. You've got your doctor. Everybody's coaching you. It's a big team. And you'll probably learn a lot more than me since you're actually signing up and taking the birthing classes. You might know a little extra something by the time your big day comes. And then the thing is, Kelsey, do you have aches and pains right now?
I do.
What are you feeling? And you're still
so I'm at
3 months to go.
Yeah, I'm at 29 weeks as of yesterday. Mm-hmm.
And you have the cutest little bump. You're just adorable.
Bump. Mm-hmm. Just bump.
That's it.
And I love it. I mean, I feel like I'm going to miss my little bump.
I know. Oh, someone else told me that. Before you deliver the baby, really, and you're starting to feel kicks right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I loved that. I love that.
He just goes to town in there.
I know. Oh, my God. Before you give birth, take a video when you feel moving. Just remember that because then you don't have that feeling anymore and you will miss it. That was fun. So that's one of the coolest things. So you have the aches and pains still, though.
I do.
And they'll get worse.
I have like a lot of back pain and a lot of hip pain. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never weighed over 115 pounds in my whole life. And I've put on quite some weight. And I feel like the only thing that's really changed is my belly. And I kind of feel like my backside's got a little bigger. But mm-hmm. I just...
It has, Kelsey. I've seen you standing there. No, it looks good. That's good.
You should have saw me get into these jeans this morning. I had to get my fiance to come wiggle them up. But, mostly back pain and like hip pain. But, I mean, I will take that over throwing up, headache, dizziness. Mm-hmm. I will take the pain.
Okay, so here's the beautiful thing. Once that baby is out of you, all of that is gone like that instantly. Because I had really, really bad heartburn up until I drink water and it gave me heartburn. And you push that baby out, all the aches and pains you feel because it's competing with all of your organs, gone immediately. So that's a good thing. Let me prepare you a little bit for after the baby comes, all the amazing, wonderful things. Yes, you created life. My daughter looked me in the eye. I mean, she came out. She looked right at me, and my fiance is my witness. He's like, I've never seen anything like that. He's like, she stared at you so intensely. Well, now that we know her personality, we know she was like, feed me, chick. Feed me, woman. I want my food now. Now we know what that look was about. But at the time, your first interaction with your child, it will be like you're the star of a movie. I mean, I don't know what that would feel like, but you know what I mean? It's just the most magical, magical moment, that first interaction. It's amazing. Oh, by the way, they look funny when they come out.
Yeah, I've seen photos.
But you still think they're, something is going on in your head. You still think they're beautiful. No matter how weird they look, you still think they look beautiful.
It'll be my little alien.
Although, that was the second thing I thought when I looked at my daughter's feet. I was like, girl, what is wrong with your feet? And they're all scrunched in there. I was crying the next morning when I woke up because I thought there was something wrong with her legs. And they're like, no, her legs have been squinched up in your stomach. So they're fine. Everything's going to be fine, but there are all these things you don't expect to see from the get-go. By the way, I wouldn't leave the hospital. I was scared to go home.
got to do it all on your own?
Because, yeah, I was happy with the nurses helping. That was working out well. So I wouldn't leave. Finally, they're like, you're ready to go.
That has been the number one advice that I got. That was like, if they tell you to stay, like, stay. Like,
yes.
Take the help. Do
yes.
it. Like, eat the food. Get two meals. Do it all. And they're like, because the moment you leave,
I know.
You are.
Well, back in the old days, remember you would go and you'd see a baby in the hospital. It's like all the little babies lined up in one
yep.
area. They were never in the mom's room. And now, of course, the baby won't leave your side.
Good.
Which is good. But that means you have to take care of it the whole time.
That's true. That's true. But when I went on the hospital tour, they were saying they have like a little nursery. So if you
do
need like
a break, okay.
a little break, they'll take them. You can have a
okay,
few
good.
Minutes on your own or sleep, whatever you need to do. But I feel like I'll take advantage of it.
Yes, for sure. Take advantage of that because, oh, speaking of which, ask for help. Ask for help. I was so delirious. I'm really good at asking for help now. I mean, I just say, hey, this takes a village. You watch her. You watch her. You know, I'm really good now. But when I first had her, for those first 6 weeks, I wasn't organized in my thought process about, hey, I need to sleep from this time to this time, or I'm just worn down. It's such a blur. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Sleep is super important. I don't even want to tell you you're not going to get any because people tell me that. And I was like, screw you. I'm always going to get sleep. That's a priority in my life. I don't anymore. Okay, fine. But just ask for help whenever you need it for anything and know your support system.
I'm definitely a very independent person. And that's
me.
We had the talk about it. He's like, Kelsey, you need to let me help you. I'm like, you know, I dropped something on the floor now and I can barely bend over to get it. And he's like, let me help you. I'm like, no, I can do it. I can do it.
I can tell you're very independent, which makes you go far at work. But when you're trying to take care of your baby, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to do stuff for you and to put yourself and your own needs first. And I didn't really have any postpartum immediately after, except for the sleep deprivation, because that makes you a little cranky. But what I really encountered is after I stopped breastfeeding, it was about 2 to 3 months after. That's when you lose all those hormones from breastfeeding. You've had them elevated and they go away. And that's when your hair starts to fall out and you'll sit there and you'll go like this and clumps of hair will come right out. But I'm here to tell you, it all comes back. Look at my hair. It's all back. Do I look like I have hair? Yes, I'm good.
I haven't even thought about any of that.
I was sitting there with Mason and the gang and I would just go, what is that? And so it's a little scary. And that's when I kind of encountered my postpartum-ish time period and I got a lot of anxiety. But you just have to monitor. You also have to rely on your OB or your primary care or whomever and have a gatekeeper. Like, hey, this isn't feeling good. You have to have good communication and conversations with your doctors and also good communication with a pediatrician. Do you have a pediatrian?
No, and I don't even know
where do you live?
To find one. Wesley Chapel.
I would say Dr. Mike Jordan in Trinity, but I don't know if that's close. Okay, well, let me tell you this. Don't settle. Whatever you do, this is the person who is caring for your child. If you have to drive a little further, don't worry about that because you're not going to be there all the time. But fine, I mean, you want it to be convenient, but find somebody who you have a great vibe with, great communication. You love how they interact with your child because that is your line of expertise. You and your fiance are still figuring it out, right?
We are. Every day, one new thing, one baby step. Yeah, I definitely, though, need to find a pediatrician. And, you know, I've been told that, you know, daycare things, like you can only have, I guess there's a, I don't know if it's true or not, but I've been told there's like a Florida law that you can only have 2 under the age of 2 at any given time in like a daycare or a facility.
I didn't know that.
I'm not sure.
Are you
if
having
it's
twins?
True.
You're trying to tell me something?
No, I'm not trying to tell. No, let's not. Don't start a rumor. But I don't know. So I feel like now I have to find a daycare and a nanny or someone to help me.
You know what's weird? Someone else told me this. It all kind of just magically happens. I shouldn't say magically. It's not without effort. But you know what else is weird? Okay, so after I had my daughter, all these different people came into my life. You'll meet other moms who are going through the same thing at the exact same time as you.
That's my fear. I don't want mom friends.
Oh, we can talk an hour about that. Please, let's save that. But you will find people who will all of a sudden be like these little guardian angels like, oh, Kelsey, I can help you out with that. I know people come into your life magically. That will all come together. And again, it's just trusting your intuition and relationships with people. But when you do start to think about daycares or schools and all that, my daughter's 2. She had to be on a waiting list to get into her program. So you do have to think ahead as far as all of that goes. Now, have you thought at all about sleeping schedule for the baby?
Not really, but I kind of feel like, and I don't know if it's true, you would know, but like, he wakes me up every morning around 4 a.m. right now. Just kicks. I have to go pee. But around 4 a.m. and 6 a.m., I am wide awake. So I kind of feel like that's his schedule.
So here's the deal. His schedule is he's up at night. He's awake while you're lying down. And he's sleeping while you're walking around. You're basically rocking him to sleep all day. It doesn't mean he's not moving during the day sometimes. Baby sleep cycles, for the most part, they sleep a lot in your stomach. And they'll sleep a lot that first month. Now, I found this book called The Baby Whisperer, and it's this British lady. So I read the book and I hear a British accent. I feel like she must be an expert. But I used her method. And my daughter, to this day, I did make one sleeping mistake. I let her sleep in her bed, and that was a bad move on my part. But you have this schedule, and it's called the Easy Baby Schedule. E is in eat, A is in activity, S is in sleep, Y is in you time. So basically, you start whenever the baby wakes up, you feed the baby immediately. Soon as the baby wakes up, because don't make the mistake of feeding the baby to sleep, because then you'll always have to feed the baby to fall asleep. You don't want to do that way. Feed, then do a little activity, tummy time, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then the baby will sleep. And then that's when you have you time. And then the baby wakes up again. You start it again. And what'll happen is these cycles will extend. So that first month that he's home, those will be 3-hour cycles at the most, two to 3-hour cycles. And then a month into it, all of a sudden, he's taking 3 naps a day, hopefully starting to sleep through the night at 3-4 months. I'm really putting some good juju on you, Kelsey, because I want you to have an easy, easy baby that sleeps well. To this day, my daughter's the best napper and the best sleeper. And it's all because of Easy Baby. So that's your homework assignment.
I'll have to look into it, definitely.
And then the number one rule, you sleep when baby sleeps.
I've been told that's a myth.
Really?
Yeah, everyone goes, yeah, when baby sleeps, you sleep. And they're like, but no, you have laundry and dishes and
don't do it.
Taking out the trash.
Don't do it. I read this girl who was on her second baby. She's a blogger. And she was saying how, she said, I'm having my second baby now. So for the next 3 months, all I'm doing is making milk and taking care of my child and taking care of me. And that is it, Kelsey. You are like me. I mean, I went 40 years of my life where I always have projects. I always have things I'm trying to do and accomplish, things with the family, things at home. Go, 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 go. I didn't realize motherhood, for those first 3 months, it's you and the baby. That's it. Don't try to do anything else. Except when you come back to work 6 weeks later, right? Because that's all we get off of 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So future podcast with Kelsey, where we talk about how to make the most of our company work policy when it comes to maternity leave. Thank you, Kelsey.
You're welcome.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.